This is the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters, our second straight in-season, presenting sponsorship from our friends at Hooters. Let's find out more.
At Hooters, you can watch the games with all your buddies. And when your buddies are the world-famous Hooters girls, there's always plenty of ice-cold beer and those craveable wings that'll knock your taste buds into next Tuesday. Hooters girls know plenty about football, but we really know the fans that live for it. So hang out with all your buddies all season long at Hooters, your official hangout for game day. And while you're there, enjoy Hooters' great game day eats. Join us for the Bucks Players Show every Monday night at 5 p.m. at Hooters on Hillsboro.
I hope you all agree that our Hooters spots are much better than the Tide spots on the Thursday night football game done by Joe and Troy. All right, let's get right into it. I'm recording this podcast at halftime of that Thursday night game. At the time of the recording, as all you know, 24-6 Philadelphia, pretty much alternating possessions for the two Eagle running backs, Clement and Smallwood. Yes, I am still of the belief and have been for many weeks that the Eagles would look to trade for a running back even before Jay Ajayi was lost officially for the season. He just hasn't been healthy at all. The Eagles made a move like that last year. No one thought they would be getting Jay Ajayi. So tough to predict. I know people in Chicago say no way the Bears would give up Jordan Howard. I don't know anyone in Miami who thought the Dolphins would give up Jay Ajayi, just looking back a year. Let's just other observations from the game. Best offensive half for the Eagles all season. I've always said you don't want to have running backs on bad teams in fantasy football. That is changing if the running back doesn't leave the field, is a three down back, and is a hot target out of the backfield to catch passes, and such is the case of the dynamic Saquon Barkley. So even though the Giants stink, Barkley has delivered you the RB1 value that you drafted this year, unlike those who drafted Le'Veon Bell, Leonard Fournette, David Johnson. He has delivered that even on a bad team. So just a note there, because obviously there were highlights in the first half of that game, and he was, over 150 total yards in the first half, even though the Giants were held to two field goals. No comments on the second half. Let's record the podcast as we look ahead to Sunday and Monday action and just my thoughts looking at game by game and what stands out. Going in order of time, the early window, Arizona, Minnesota. Last I saw Dalvin Cook, looks like he's at full. This could be an important game for Dalvin Cook. You Dalvin Cook owners want to get some value on your RB1 investment since you haven't had it in recent weeks. Vikings just seem very comfortable throwing. They certainly have to shore up some things on defense, but of the challengers to the Rams in the NFC, Minnesota is one of the three, with the Eagles, in my opinion, and also the New Orleans Saints. But an important game for Dalvin Cook. All the normal guys you would start for the Vikings in their passing game, you're obviously starting as well. No surprise there. From the Arizona standpoint, another Josh Rosen game. That's meant more scoring for David Johnson, which is good relative to how little David Johnson did with Sam Bradford under center. No one really that significant that you want to play on the Arizona Cardinals other than David Johnson and maybe Rosen in a two-quarterback league. Chargers and Cleveland. Vegas has the total. Westgate has the total at 45. Seems a little low to me. But Browns had trouble getting in the end zone against the Ravens and have a tendency to have weird things happen to them. Big surprise. Chargers have gotten a monster year, speaking of RB1 value, from Melvin Gordon, Austin Eckler. We said this earlier in the week on the podcast. Gordon Eckler has become the new Freeman Coleman. We'll talk about the Falcons coming up, but they're better than the Freeman Coleman combination. Part of it is Gordon staying healthy. Part of it is Eckler gets his touches no matter what. They give Gordon some rest, and Eckler makes the most of those touches. Phillip Rivers has been using him. Allen owners aren't getting as much as they wanted. Mike Williams has been up and down. Gates got in the end zone last week. I know a lot of conversation about tight end. Again, I addressed that earlier in the week. Change your league. All right, I saw this coming 4 years ago. Change your league. And if you say, well, that's not my call, tell your owner to change it, or your commissioner to change it. Don't play a mandatory tight end league anymore. All right, get with the times. Make it make the tight end only a flex play. Don't make it mandatory. That way, there's enough tight ends to go around, and you make them purely optional. Get with it. All right, remember it for 2019. Make the change. I'm sick of answering questions about I'm desperate for a tight end. Yeah, well, maybe you should have changed your league this year to not being mandatory with playing a tight end. Make it part of a flex position. I recommend W/T. It's in every setup you can find where you can't flex a running back, but you can flex a wide receiver or a tight end. So there's a spot for a Kelce, a spot for an Ertz, a spot for a Gronk, a spot for a Cook the first month of the season. From the Cleveland standpoint, Landry, yes. Mayfield's been spreading it around a little bit to the tight end, to Higgins, to Callaway. Hyde is still getting a ton of reps. Nick Chubb owners are kind of becoming the new Derrick Henry owners from the last couple of years. And Baker Mayfield is worth playing, especially in two quarterback leagues. Chicago and Miami, Bears off a bye, playing the Dolphins, who were 3-0. That seems now like it was 1972 in the undefeated season. This feels like an odd game. I don't know what to make of it. Just that Adam Gase is kind of a fantasy killer. I like Adam Gase as a head coach. I think he'll be better the second time he gets a head coaching job, because I think the Dolphins are just a horrible organization, pretty much top to bottom at this point. A lot of respect for the history of the Dolphins. Not anything since Mr. Ross took over. From the Bears' standpoint, can they pick up where they left off against the Buccaneers? Can Trubisky pick up where he left off? I know Jordan Howard owners hope Tariq Cohen doesn't pick up where he left off, but Nagy wants to use Cohen and he wants to use Burton. And the targets have been there for Robinson, a little more for Taylor Gabriel as well. So this is a telling game for Chicago. Where are they off that big game where everything clicked at 3-1 off a bye against a down Miami team? History of the NFL suggests this game will go more Miami's way, even though the line says otherwise, because Miami's at home. They've looked really bad. Now they get the Bears off a bye. It's just the way the NFL works. You've got to kind of understand this is parity a little bit. But from the Bears standpoint, I think there are Bears worth rostering. I'm not sure how excited I am about playing. I'd play Howard in the game. I would. I'd roster Cohen. I'd roster Trubisky. You're playing Allen Robinson in all likelihood. You're not playing any of the Dolphins unless you're desperate to play Kenyon Drake. Carolina and Washington, from the Panthers standpoint, keeping an eye on Greg Olsen. I guess this is maybe on Olsen. If Olsen plays, it devalues Funchess a little bit. But McCaffrey's getting huge work. I did a Yahoo on projected points the remainder of the season. And Cam Newton's number one. Now, granted, he's already had his bye week, but there are others who've had their bye week as well. Cam Newton, McCaffrey, Funchess in the flex mix. Washington on a short week off of, although if they, you know, pretty much shut it down at the end of the first half against New Orleans, you can technically say they didn't play 60 minutes on Monday night, so they should be ready to go. Check the Peterson status. Someone was asking me for a desperate running back pickup this week. I said maybe Bibbs gets some key touches because Peterson is banged up, but there's nothing I really like about Washington right now. Even Jordan Reed has stayed healthy, and that's because Vernon Davis plays more than him. Indianapolis and the Jets. The Jets were sort of an aberration last week with a lot of big plays. You can't expect that this week against the Colts. You know, Darnold had a very high yardage per completion. Robbie Anderson had his only game of significance for the season. Crowell is injured. From the Colts standpoint, no T.Y. Hilton. If you played the Thursday night lottery a week ago with which Colt would get the targets, Rodgers did get a number of those targets. Pascal didn't get so many. I don't know where to go here. I think the only real must play in this game is Andrew Luck, and that's it. And I don't think it's that strong of a play. I think it's more of a QB2 play than a QB1 play. Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, a lot in play here. High number. Westgate has it at 52.5. Generally, Pittsburgh wins these games against the Bengals. I know it's October and not January, but that means Roethlisberger, Juju, Antonio Brown, James Conner off the big bounce back game in a good spot for him. From the Cincinnati standpoint, I'd say Dalton in consideration in two quarterback leagues this week. Or in DFS, if you're looking for a more inexpensive quarterback, Tyler Boyd's targets have been very consistent. You're still playing AJ Green. You're playing Joe Mixon. So a lot of guys in play for Pittsburgh and Cincinnati. Tampa Bay and Atlanta, the number's even higher, 57.5. It feels high to me. All right. That number feels high to me. Because I think the Bucs are going to try to slow the game down. I don't know if they'll be successful with it, but I think they're going to try to slow the game down because that's kind of all they can do at this point. I mean, Atlanta is very potent with their offense. Of course, you're playing Jones, Matt Ryan. Late in the week, new injury for Freeman, so Freeman may not go in this game. Coleman would get more work, but he hasn't done much with more work. He's been better as a two, but it's not like you're sitting him in this game because it is the Bucs. But Ito Smith suddenly becomes a possibility in this game for a DFS bargain behind Coleman because he's gotten some goal line looks with Freeman out. Hooper off a decent game. The last couple of weeks, Falcons didn't have a good second half against the Steelers. Ridley didn't score last week, first time all year, right? And Mohamed Sanu's had a couple of good games. So you can make a case for a lot of Falcons. We talked about the Bucs earlier this week in the Bucs Bulletin edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast. One update to that, trending in the direction of O.J. Howard to play. I still think Cameron Brate gets plenty of time because Jameis Winston likes having Cameron Brate out there to run specific routes that Jameis is comfortable with. Even if O.J. Howard is healthy, I'm not sure I'm pushing him in there if I have a better option in the first game with Jameis back, knowing Brate got most of the reps all week. Seattle and Oakland, this game in London. By the way, for those who wonder, well, why isn't it a 9:30 a.m. game? They don't want to make the two home markets watch the game at 6:30 in the morning. That's why. So occasionally when you have the West Coast teams playing in London, they play it as a 1 o'clock game. So their home fan bases literally aren't watching in bed and then go back to sleep instead of watching more football. Seattle had a pretty strong week last week offensively. Russell Wilson justified being a starter again. Another good game for Mike Davis in addition to a good game for Chris Carson. I, like some of you that have been emailing me at ToddWrightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, have sort of been saying, what's really going on here? Do we actually have fantasy-relevant running backs in Seattle? Well, if you had Carson, I mean, he was on your roster. Davis is roster-worthy until further notice. It's not like the Raiders have been that good defensively. They haven't. So you can make a case there. For those guys, if you want to get them into the lineup, I think Carson will be in more lineups than Davis. But let's see, with the bye week, that would be what, Kerryon Johnson? Or if you're an Alvin Kamara owner and you're desperate for someone, Mike Davis might not be bad if you ended up picking him up the last 2 weeks. Probably better options out there, but we're actually talking about Seattle running backs, but I need to see more. From the Oakland standpoint, Jordy Nelson, more consistent than Cooper. First bad game for Cook last week at the tight end position. David Carr salvaged a pretty bad game against the Chargers with kind of a bullshit touchdown to Jordy Nelson when nobody was set on the left side of the line that the refs just for whatever reason let go. And Marshawn Lynch had his first down game. He'll be very motivated to find Pater in this game. Lynch has been a solid RB2 this season. Buffalo and Houston game is in Houston. Deshaun Watson says he's fine after being pounded by the Dallas Cowboys, albeit in a winning effort against the Cowboys on Sunday night. Watson, Hopkins has been fantastic, just getting better and better. Will Fuller did very little on Sunday night, and Q-Tay in two games has put up some great numbers, and even with Fuller out there last week, they ran some specific plays for Q-Tay, including one near the goal line. He is definitely worth rostering, if not worth maybe a flex type play or a DFS bargain play in this game against the Bills. From the Bills' standpoint, don't have much for you here, other than Josh Allen using his legs to run for yardage and score touchdowns. That separates him from some of the other lower five or six quarterbacks in the NFL. There's not much going on here. Rams and Denver. The Texans running back situation. I still wouldn't be playing Lamar Miller. I think Miller is close to being closer to being irrelevant than he is to being a fantasy starter week to week. And Foreman off PUP. I believe that comes into play next week. Yeah, it should be another game with some volume for Albert Blue. I don't think it's anything to get excited about. But again, if you need a running back, Blue is someone who at least catches balls out of the backfield, which you can justify playing a running back as a flex play. If you're playing a running back as a flex play and he doesn't catch balls out of the backfield, whether you're standard or PPR, get with it. Start making changes. There's a lot of passing yards out there. The flex position is a position where you need to get some of those passing yards. So if you're playing a running back there who comes off the field on third down, you're missing out. Can't put it any clearer. Rams and Denver. Denver's not good. Not good. I don't know that I'd be playing Emmanuel Sanders this week. Demaryius Thomas, same thing. Over time, like in dynasty leagues, I think Cortland Sutton's going to be something, but I'm not playing him in this game. Lindsey continues to be a good running back for them. Freeman is roster worthy, but that's about it. Most two quarterback leagues, you're not even playing Case Keenum at this point. He's being paid a lot of money, and I don't think being benched is out of the question this month. From the Rams standpoint, you're keeping an eye on Kupp and is it Cooks, who were both concussed last week? I think both are fast tracked to be back. Robert Woods is definitely in play this week. Denver's defense is substandard. If you're don't be scared away by the Denver matchup for any reason. Yeah, they have Von Miller, and yes, they have some other names. You know, as a unit, they're not playing well. They're just not playing well. So don't be scared away. Gurley, Goff, Cooks, non-concussed Ram receivers, you're good. Jacksonville at Dallas, no Fournette and maybe no Fournette until week 10. So if you need to play TJ Yeldon and you've been now Yeldon's Grant was hurt last week. I get it with Yeldon, but Dallas has been good defensively. Jags will have to run another game plan that is primarily passing. The old Blake Bortles showed up last week against a soft Kansas City Chiefs defense. Blake could have another bad game. So I'm not sure that DeeDee Westbrook and Keelan Cole and Dante Moncrief are guys that you really want to play if you have a better option. Same with Blake. For Dallas, there's only one guy worth playing, and he wears number 21. Baltimore and Tennessee, this game is listed as a pick. Down week for Baltimore, a lot of air yards out there that didn't turn into actual yards and catches for John Brown last week. Better game for Michael Crabtree, not much from the running game. Even Justin Tucker had a field goal blocked, and the Ravens couldn't get him an attempt in overtime. It speaks to the Browns being better, but also was a bad game for the Ravens. From the Tennessee standpoint, just week to week, I don't know what I'm watching. It's like every week there was that stupid quote by Greg Schiano when he coached the Buccaneers, how we play 16 one-game seasons. What the hell is that? Well, it feels like Tennessee, every game, it's a different team. It's a different look. It's a different identity. Derrick Henry's been in the mud all year, hasn't scored, hasn't busted a big run. Deion Lewis hasn't done much either. They had the big game against Philly. Then Tawan Taylor has the early fumble last week. Corey Davis, not much last week. I don't know. If you're starting a Titan, good luck to you. Because I kind of feel about them the way I feel about the Dolphins. I think Titans are more roster worthy than Dolphins, but not much. Not starting lineup worthy. Kansas City, New England. This Westgate has a total on this of 59.5. A lot of guys in play. Patriots, Sony Michel, James White, Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, probably Josh Gordon. If you need to replace a Lion wide receiver, Julian Edelman, probably not Hogan. That said, Hogan will probably score. From the Kansas City standpoint, same guys. Check the status of Watkins. He's not as strong a play as Hill. Kelsey's a stronger play than Hill and has been for a month now. Hunt's been a really good last few weeks, especially getting his share of catches out of the backfield. And Mahomes had runs for touchdowns in the game against the Jaguars. Let's see. San Francisco, Green Bay. Who do the Niners have left? Seriously, Garoppolo hurt, McKinnon hurt, Breida hurt, Pettis was hurt, Goodwin got hurt, and now Kittle's hurt. I'm serious. Is there anything? Alfred Morris? I mean, come on. Sure, you're going to hand the ball to Alfred Morris trying to keep up with the Packers. Now, there was a Pro Football Talk report on Thursday night. I'm sure they got it from somewhere about Aaron having a setback off the game against the Lions and maybe a bulkier brace or whatever. He's still at home. They got McCarthy has time and Aaron has time to figure out the game plan, what they need to do. Maybe more Aaron Jones. For those of you like me who own Aaron Jones, say, why aren't they playing him more? Apparently, well, one, Aaron Jones doesn't catch balls out of the backfield, kind of like Ronald Jones, or maybe it's a Jones thing. They don't trust Aaron Jones to catch a ball out of the backfield or to pick up a blitz. He actually did make a block he was supposed to make a couple of weeks ago, and it made news. That's how bad in the past Aaron Jones has been on blitz pickup or protecting Aaron Rodgers. And with a bad wheel, that makes them less likely to give Aaron Jones a lot of reps in those situations. So that's why Ty Montgomery is out there. He's just better at catching passes. You're not playing Jamal Williams and probably cut him by now. But that's why Aaron Jones isn't out there more. This feels like a game they could just get up a couple of scores and then just Jones, 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 Jones. But they also want to manage Jones's reps because he's gotten hurt in the past. And they know he's explosive and they know they can use him to get themselves some yards on the ground or set up a play-action pass for Aaron Rodgers. But if they overuse him, he's going to get hurt again. So Davante Adams is definitely in play. Check status on Geronimo Allison. Even if Cobb is ready to play, I'm not sure you're playing him. We talked about the Niners. No, seriously, they're running out of players. All right, if you have any other questions about players, TopRightFantasyFootball@gmail.com, TopRightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Just do me a favor. Don't send me an email within 90 minutes of kickoff and expect a response. It's cutting it a little bit too close. So if you have a question, send it by the time you go to bed on Saturday night, because I will look at all my emails when I get up on Sunday morning. I'll answer all of them, and then I'm done with them. Then I got my own teams and my own leagues to commission that I worry about. And then have some other things that I got to do. So TopRightFantasyFootball@gmail.com. Also remember, Todd Wright Tour 17 Golf Tournament, West Chase Golf Club, October 28th, $68. $68 per person. Lunch from Better Bird, dinner from Chef Daniel at West Chase, carved roast beef dinner, mac and cheese, salad. We'll have the donuts from Better Bird as the dessert. And you'll get a shirt sponsored by Brandon Legal Group. $68. My tournaments run roughly 30 to 60% cheaper than other golf tournaments. Our tournaments start on time. They're better organized. They're more unique in format. You're going to play games against the spread. You're going to play against the clock on two holes, 9 and 18. Come play in the golf tournament. Spots are available. joebucksfan.com/golf or email me for golf. Someone emailed me a fantasy football question at the golf address. I guess that was email top rate fantasy football for fantasy football questions. Email your golf interest in my tournaments to toddwrightgolf@gmail.com. Sign up online for the golf tournament at joebucksfan.com/golf. That concludes this edition of the Todd Wright Fantasy Football Podcast, presented by Hooters for the second season in a row. My thanks to Hooters for their presenting sponsorship, and we'll talk to you next time.